everybody comes running, I think. But your name has a meaning. And you know when to look. When you're in the store, or how many of you ever did this? Maybe as a kid, right? You're in the store, you're calling, Mom, Mom, and you finally say her first name. Anybody ever do that? Right? Because she doesn't listen to Mom because there's 100 moms around. And she didn't want to recognize your voice that time, right? You were special all the other times. But words have meanings. And with those comes definitions, basic. I mean, this is basic English stuff, right? I mean, I didn't think I was going to church to learn English. But words have meanings. And if we don't know what a word means, where do we go? To a dictionary. Now, how many of you would pull out your hard copy dictionary from your bookshelf? I want to see this. Okay, how many of you are going to would rather pull out a hard copy dictionary? How many of you would pull out your phone? Look at that. Okay, so we've got, and I'm in that list there. Forget dictionary.com. Just go to Google and type it in, and Google will pull up the answer, right? I mean, we've got a lot of basic things like that. And so when we're looking for a definition of a word, we know where to go. Well, when we look at what the Bible has to say about life, where are we going to go? The Bible. Didn't we sing about that tonight? The B-I-B-L-E. And that's where we're going to go, because that's the book for me. I will stand, even if it's what? Alone on the Word of God. It's not always easy to stand on the Word of God. You will be different. You're still special in God's eyes, but there's pressure sometimes from the outside. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And wow, that's where we go for the answers of life. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, this is not our passage for tonight. So, kids, writing that down, don't write that down yet, okay? This is just a verse I want to start with tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Because I want us to see that when we study some ideas and maybe things that we've just, some of you have always known about. I was saved when I was 4.5 years old. I know I've shared that before with the church family. I grew up in a Christian home. Both my parents were saved. And so I don't remember not going to church. I remember one of my earliest memories of going to church was my sister eating her Sunday school paper. I don't know why I remember that. We were walking down the hallway, and I think we were even just visiting that Sunday, that church, because we'd already moved away from that church. But she took a bite out of her Sunday school paper. And I'm like, wow. And you know, I'm a little kid. That's one of my earliest memories of church. And I mean, so there are things that we just kind of grow up thinking or believing, or that's how it's always been. But we want to always look at, what does the Bible really have to say? How are we going to live? How are we going to dictate our lives? It must be by what is it? The B-I-B-L-E. Everybody, it's the B-I-B-L-E. I mean, it's that simple. That's right. It's the Bible. And that's where we've got to go back to, the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, the first word is study. So we've got to study what? The Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's God's word. In John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're reminded a little later on that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, specifically the living Word, Jesus Christ. But God also gave us the written Word that you and I so freely have. I have one copy here. I think I have two different apps on here for the Bible. I have one app on here. That bulletin board downstairs, Joanne, if you have not looked at that, you have got to look at that. That was such a good bulletin board. If we would treat our Bibles like we treat our cell phones, it would change our lives, because we study to show ourselves approved unto God. Because, man, that weather, or what's that sports score, or you know, what's going to be going on tomorrow, or what's the news, or, man, I got to check my email one more time. I might have got an email in the last 45 seconds, right? I mean, that's how some people are, right? I mean, we got to do this, or, man, that Facebook post, oh, they liked that one. Oh, there's a smiley face on that one. I mean, we do those things all the time. But as we live our lives, we must come to the point that we study the Bible. So we said, okay, so some basic questions. What is a pew? What is the colors of a pew? Well, the question we're going to ask tonight, Rocky, is... It's right there. There we go. It's coming. Here it is. What is a what?
what's a deacon? What does the Bible really have to say about that? Nothing. We just do it. Well, we all know that's not true. But let's look at it. So, we're going to go, we were in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, because we're going to study to show ourselves approved to God. We're going to go back to the book of 1 Timothy, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it starts out discussing the pastor. God calls a pastor. And a church then realizes and acknowledges the calling of God on a man to be their pastor. I am thankful for that. Man, we have grown to love you guys, and we are excited to be here. And we have unofficially, officially moved, or officially, unofficially moved, however that works. Our house is officially on the market, and we moved our kids' schooling and our clothes enough to stay here till I don't know when. So we are here. We're excited for that. And we're praying for housing and just excited for that. And so you just continue to pray that our house will sell. The first open house was today. And we were praying about that even this afternoon. God knows who's going to move into our house. Anyway, we're thankful that God called me here to be the pastor. And we can look at that. And granted, as a church family, you have spent much time over the last couple years looking through this section. What is a pastor? What do we need to do? What do we need to look for? But now we're coming up to the annual meeting, and we talk about deacons. There are two different offices that God has put in a church. And as much as we love our Sunday school superintendents, and as much as we love our clerks, and as much as we love our Sunday school teachers, none of them are in the Bible, though they have a place. But the two offices that God makes very plain and clear in His Word is the pastor and the deacon. And as much as we, or you specifically as a church family, have studied about the pastor and what do we need to do and who do we need to call and who is God bringing to our church, I believe it's just as with that much respect and utmost prayer that we pray to God and say, God, who do you want to be our deacons this next year? Because this is in our church. This isn't my church. And if I say my church sometime, it'll be a slip of the tongue because this is not my church. And many times we say this is our church, but this is not our church. This is His church. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And this is God's church. And so if we really want to know what is a deacon, we must go to the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So we're back in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to go ahead and read through this brief passage here. We're not going to start in verse 1. That's where it talks about the pastor. But I'm going to go ahead and make sure I'm in 1 Timothy. There we go. And we're going to start with verse number 8. So follow along as I read verse 8 and following. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. Granted, that rules out a woman deacon. That doesn't mean women aren't important. In fact, women are very important. We talked about that this morning when we were talking with Genesis chapter 1. And I mean, not just the role of a mother and bearing children and raising children for God, but man, women are important. I don't know what I would do without my wife. I am so thankful for her. And I trust all of you married men think that about your wife. But here it says the husbands of one wife. Verse 12, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of who? It's all about God. It's all about Him. That thou mightest know how to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we go back to here to see, what is a deacon? It must be a guy who carries a Bible and drinks Starbucks. Well, no. In fact, you don't even have to like coffee to be a deacon. Did you see that anywhere in there? You got to drink coffee or No. But there are certain responsibilities and roles of a deacon that the Bible makes plain and clear, and we're going to look at some of these and some practical things as a deacon. And so how do we pray as a church family? We have a list of men who have been nominated by our church family to be deacons. We've talked with them, and they have said, I agree to be up to nomination. Now, that doesn't mean any of them are deacons. In fact, it might mean none of them become deacons. Because this is something of God. And we're saying, God, what do you want for our church? Because we are going to what? Grow together in 2017. But we're going to grow under Him. And grow according to what He wants us to do. And what direction He wants us to take. So as we talked about that, we see the role. There are roles of deacons. I think that's another one there I've got there. Maybe that's not next. I don't know. If it's not next, don't put it up because I got them in order for you. So we see the role of a deacon. And the word role gives us really the idea of function, a part performed. You have a role in the service tonight, and it's not sleeping, right? You're here. You have a role in service tonight. Brother Bill played a role in the service. He led the singing. All of you kids, not only did you play a role, but you're playing a role right now as you are taking your time and saying, okay, he said deacon again. He said God. He said church. As you're learning to try to pay attention, because this is God's word. And if you can't as kids learn to pay attention, how are you ever going to pay attention as adults? Because it's tough to pay attention. You already saw the adults raise their hands. It's tough. So you kids have a role in this church service. You are listening so that God can work in your heart and life. You adults have a role in this church service. You're listening so God can work in your life, but you're also a testimony to those looking up to you saying, hey, they're listening. They're going. They're learning. They're letting God change them and work in their hearts and their lives. So role, there is a function, a part that we all must play. Some view the roles of deacons in many different ways. I'm going to go through some of these quickly. Many of these aren't true. But these are just some ways that people view what is a deacon. It's a stepping stone to becoming a member of the clergy. Some people view it that way. Now, granted, we can see two deacons in the early New Testament church that went on to become evangelists. But that didn't mean the others were bad deacons. No. That may have been the role that God had called them to and then put them on from there. And so there have been some pastors who are pastors today and previously had been deacons. My dad, some of you got to meet my dad a couple weeks ago when he preached in the afternoon service for us. And he did not go off to Bible college to prepare to be a pastor until he was 29. He was just surrendered to God and he had the opportunity to be a deacon. I have never been a deacon. So the deacons in our church have a special role that I don't even know what it feels like to be. Being a deacon isn't necessarily the next stepping stone to becoming a member of the clergy, the cloth. It's not that. Because really, and we're going to talk about the role of a pastor a little bit tonight in that. But a deacon, some people view it as the governing board over a church. The deacons don't run the church. God is the great shepherd. Jesus Christ says, I am the shepherd. And as pastors are truly His under-shepherds. That's why this is not my church. That's why this is not our church. It's His church. Some view the deacons as checks and balances to the pastor so he doesn't get out of control. Now granted, God uses men in the pastor's life. But I am thankful for our deacons. And how God has used them already in my life. And I am excited about this next year and the deacons that God has for our church. How He's going to use them in my life and me in theirs in a close-knit way. But it's not a checks and balances system. But it's truly before God. Some people just say a deacon is a title with no function.
We just got to have deacons.
Well, that's not it either. Some people say that really the role doesn't even exist. Well, a clear study of God's word shows it does. And then there's the view that the deacon is a servant to the church. And we're going to look at that tonight. What does the Bible have to say? What is a deacon? There are two distinct roles. And again, tonight's message is very different. I know. We're getting through a lot of teaching material. There are two distinct roles. I think I have that up there, Rocky. There are two distinct roles in the New Testament church. And we already talked about that, specifically two offices. There is the pastor and the... Now, wait a second. We heard a plural and a singular there, didn't we? The pastor and the deacons. Now, granted, there are times in churches that they can only have one deacon. Maybe that's all that is qualified, all that's able to serve. That happens. Does that mean that church is sinning? Of course not. In fact, the Bible doesn't specify how many deacons a church should have. There are some churches that have 15 deacons. I think that'd be a little obnoxious if we did. There's no purpose for that. I mean, why? I mean, let's just say we've got deacons. But again, because then again, we're going back to, it's just a role. We're just trying to fill names and, man, our church has this many deacons. No, we aren't striving for a certain number of deacons here. We know God has the men that He wants to be our deacons this next year. And we want to seek His face and His will with that. But in the New Testament church, there's the pastor and the deacons, and they are distinct in service. Philippians 1, verse 1. Philippians 1, verse 1. And we see both of these aspects mentioned. Philippians isn't too far behind. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. And there are specific words that are referred to as pastor. And we see that in the Bible. One of those being bishop. Another being elder. One being pastor. And we see that a couple places. The word pastor in itself means shepherd. Didn't Jesus Christ say He is the great shepherd? So as a pastor, my role is only an under-shepherd. My goal is to point you to Christ. It's not to build a following. It's not to build some monumental church on the hill in Munich. We want to make a difference in Munich, in Stockbridge, in Gregory, and wherever we are for Him, because this is Christ's church. And as we go through this, so we see that the pastor is a shepherd. We see the word bishop. We saw that there in Philippians. The word bishop really gives us the idea of to oversee or superintend. Now, we have made a special, again, that's not in the Bible, so we can't do it. But a Sunday school, what do we call him? The Sunday school superintendent. Just to help kind of organize everything and keep everything flowing so we can keep track. Hey, look at that. Praise the Lord. We had 75 in Sunday school this morning. Aren't you thankful? I hope you were part of that. I mean, it's great. If you're not, there's a Sunday school class for you because you are special. And we're glad to have you here and part of us. But the Sunday school superintendent has an important role that he plays. And that's good. But we see the word bishop means to superintend, over, the overseer. The word elder means older or senior. And in fact, really, we could get technical and go into all sorts of things with that, and I won't right now. If you want to know more about that, well, that could just mean someone older. Come talk to me. We'll talk about that. I've got some stuff here, but just in time, we won't get into all of that. But there are two distinct roles in the church. Pastor. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 and 2, talk about feeding the flock and oversight. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13 says, uses the term over you and to admonish you. I'm not a dictator here, and I don't want to be. I want to point you to Christ. And that we, as a church family, would honor Christ in our church, not in our building. And we want to honor God in our building, but this building is not the church. It truly is us gathered together. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, rule over you, or spoken those who have spoken to you, unto you the word of God. It is my responsibility to bring, to study, to show myself approved unto God, to bring it before you. Just as much as it's your responsibility to study before God, before Him. But specifically as leading the church, it is my responsibility that God has called me to do. But again, it has nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with Him. I don't want to do this for me. In fact, if you would have picked that up, you probably would have never asked me to come. I hope not. Because my role is just to help point you to Christ, and that we together will be equipped and serve God right here. But the deacon. Again, what is a deacon? There are two distinct roles. We're talking about the deacon. The word deacon really means to attend or wait upon. Think about your favorite restaurant. Now, I'm not talking McDonald's, okay? Now, you know, many of you know that I spent the last year or so at McDonald's. And I praise the Lord, they helped keep us eating, and that was a blessing. McDonald's is coming to this point sometime that they are going to be serving, okay? And certain restaurants are already starting to bring your food out to you at McDonald's. I mean, talk about fancy, right? The word deacon just literally means to wait on, basically to wait on tables, to serve, to be a servant. And we mentioned that as one of our last roles that we looked at. But again, one that runs errands. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, aren't we there? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, says, likewise must the deacons. And then it goes through some qualifications. But again, that word deacon means to wait upon. Those that God wants to be deacons in our church are those that we say, wow, we really believe God wants them to serve our church. Not that there are doormats that we walk all over and say, you get that job. I didn't want that one. No, that's not it. It's a very special role. But here we see this aspect that it is to wait upon. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Turn back there. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and do what? Well, now we see serve tables, but we saw deacon. Well, maybe I'm just taking those two and saying we want it to be. If you go back, who can tell? Any kid, anybody, kid or teen, whatever, any of you can tell me what language was the New Testament written in? Okay? Ashton? Greek. Okay. So the New Testament was written in, what, everybody? Greek. So that means there had to be a translation. How many of you speak Greek? Okay, I don't either. I mean, we can know some Greek and understand. I had some teachers in college that they would speak like Koine, which is the Bible time Greek, not just the Greek today, but they would speak like Bible Greek back and forth to each other. That's how fluent they were in knowing it and understanding. I mean, that's pretty neat. But as we look back at this, we say, well, what do those words mean? We've got some study tools. And we can say, well, that's from the same word. Deacon and serve tables come from the same word. The role of a deacon in our church is to be a servant. But aren't we all called to serve? Yes, but there is a special role of a deacon that God has called. Specific. Special. So, we saw that the pastor is the overseer, the ruler, the edifier, that which exhorts us, challenges us as a church family, brings the word of God. And the deacon is a servant, or one that waits on the needs of another. Again, notice that both of these positions have nothing to do with self and everything to do with Christ. And as we pray about God, who do you want to be? And as those who have said, I am willing to put my name in to be a deacon, let me just remind and challenge you tonight, it is not about you. And for our deacons currently serving, it is not about you. It's about Him. It's not about me. It's not Pastor Josh is my, no, it's about Christ. And that's where we've got to live our lives. So two distinct roles, the pastor and the deacons. There's distinct in selection. We can go through that. And the pastor is God chosen and God appointed. We can look in Acts 20 verses 17 and 28 and see those truths. God chosen and God appointed. And the deacon is church chosen and pastor appointed. It's just the way you want it. No. Acts 6 verse 3 and 1 Timothy 3 15. And we can talk about these later if you want to. But it is a church choice before who? God. In the early New Testament church there with the disciples in Acts chapter 6, they were saying, choose out among men full of the Holy Ghost. These have to be godly men who are already examples in leading our church.
This is men, because they are going to serve us and help us unto godliness. So, church chosen, pastor appointed. Biblical role of a deacon. And I'm going to read this here. It's kind of a paragraph, but so bear with me. I don't generally like to read little paragraphs. But listen to this. The role of a deacon is a scripturally qualified servant, chosen by the church and appointed to their purposes within the church by the pastor. But it's only because of Christ, and it's only about Christ. The responsibilities of a deacon. So we saw the two distinct roles, and then the responsibilities of a deacon. There are responsibilities. And it's not to govern the body. It's not to just make sure that our buildings are all taken care of. In fact, maybe it's not even the deacon who takes care of all of that stuff. But the Bible says there are certain responsibilities of a deacon. Responsibility, we all know what that word means, right? Well, at least many of us. And if we don't know what it means, my son can tell you, if we tell him to go clear the table, we expect it, don't we, Josiah? Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's it. And there are certain things that God says and he expects out of deacons. Responsibility. Something a person is held accountable for. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. You might still be there. We're flipping back and forth kind of between 1 Timothy and Acts 6. But remember the disciples said here in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, it says, it is not reason that we should leave the what? Word of God, which is their God-appointed responsibility and task to present and lead the church. It is not our responsibility. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, was there a need? According to Acts 6, verse 1, there was a great need. There were widows who were being overlooked, and, well, there was a need. But sometimes needs can look at each other and say, well, that's more important than this one. That's more pressing than this one. That's more urgent. That's more time right now. Like, it's, wow, we got to have this. And there are times that things happen and that need to be taken care of. But what if the early church leader said, man, we got to take care of this and this and this? It's incredible as we stop to think about it. What was going on here in Acts chapter 6? The church was multiplying. Not because of the leaders. Not because of the early apostles, those who followed Christ that God was using to build this church. In Acts 2 we can look at and seeing the church and the formation and so many things. But this church was just, they were turning the world upside down. Not because they were serving tables. Not because it was the social responsibilities that they had. And granted, they had social responsibilities. And so do we. But the priority in all of that was back to what we say, 1 Corinthians 10:31, all to the glory of God. And if they left the ministry of the word where the power of God was, the church wasn't going to grow and Satan would be happy. Did you know Satan does not want our church to grow together this year? He doesn't. Man, he doesn't. But I'm excited God does. And we've talked about that in 2 Peter 3, verse 18. We're going to grow together this year, aren't we? And it's not just spiritually, and we need to grow spiritually individually, and that will help us grow together as we listen to the Word of God and the many opportunities we as a church family give you to specifically grow spiritually, whether it's in your club class or your teen class or Wednesday evening or Sunday evening or the kids class. I mean, so many opportunities. Why? Because it's all about the B-I-B-L-E. That's it. That's the book for me. So there is responsibilities of a deacon. But if these early church leaders were to leave their primary purpose they were given, the power of God would leave. Because it's all about them devoting themselves to the word and prayer. In fact, we see that later in Acts chapter 6. So the deacons were there to help the pastor with some of these other needs that, man, could have distracted him from really taking that power of God and leading the church forward for Christ. Again, this church has nothing to do with me except that God has put me here as an under-shepherd for him. But if I don't lead unto him and preach and present the word and pray, we aren't going to grow. It's not about getting more people here as much as we want more people here. but it's about God being glorified, souls being saved, and turning Munith and Stockbridge and Gregory and all these other little communities around here upside down with the gospel of Christ. And it's the deacons who will help me do that. And it's all of you, really. But again, as we're looking at the role of a deacon, there are responsibilities that God has given deacons to meet the needs of the people that we're going to distract the early leaders, the pastors, from doing. Responsibility to live godly lives. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. The first responsibility I really want us to look at, again, it was, yes, meeting the needs of the people, but we could see as they were chosen. They were first chosen because of their character before God and before men. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave? That doesn't mean dead. When we think that word grave, sometimes we think that. We'll talk about that in just a minute. It says, likewise, must they be grave? And then we see not double-tongued. You ever met someone with two tongues? I mean, it's not talking literally. Not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. I mean, wow, what is it? Again, if we have questions about words, we go back to a dictionary. We have questions about, well, what does this word mean? As this was translated many years ago, originally the King James was translated in 1611, and we can go on about those different things. But again, it was translated from Greek. We look back, what do these words mean? The word grave here literally means to be honest, honorable, or venerable. Well, what is that? One who inspires respect by their actions. Man, that's a young person who lives for God. I was talking to a youth pastor up in Lansing, and how God was leading us down here. And I was talking about Brianna. And I said, yeah, the Simmons are... Oh, he says, I know that church. Brianna was in our youth group. And when he heard the name Simmons, he thought of a young lady who inspired godliness. That's how all of us should be. And notice that's how these men were, even in Acts 6, before they were chosen as deacons. Honorable. Their life was one who inspired respect by their conduct to lead us into godliness. That testimony, that example. Not double-tongued. Really, again, double-tongued. Double means twice, right? What is it? In Monopoly, you roll doubles three times, you go to jail, right? Well, here, this idea of double-tongued is repetition. Or maybe thinking one thing and saying another. Or saying one thing to one person and saying a different thing to... I mean... So there's some specific character things that are important for a deacon to have. Granted, the pastor is still the leader in pointing and teaching the Word of God. Not that deacons can't be teachers. We have some that are. We praise God for that. But the idea here of how are we going to conduct ourselves around this person and that person? How am I going to say? What am I going to be like? Not given to much wine. Now, again, we can take hours and study this, and I want to tell you, whatever you want to call me, an abolitionist or whatever you want to, I mean, I am opposed to alcoholic beverage. Not even lots of it. Not even little bits of it. I do believe it's an unbiblical thing. We could study. You want to talk to me? We'll talk about it. Right now, we're not going to get into that. And even just with this passage and how that goes, it causes one to cease to inspire that respect that we talked about under being grave. The Bible warns against the dangers of this. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Well, what is lucre? I mean, again, we go back to what does this word mean? Disgraceful gain, or that which isn't gotten right. By the way, it doesn't simply mean money. Often we think about is money gotten in a wrong way or whatever. And money is part of it because that's how we think in America, right? When we get stuff, we get money. In order to buy stuff, we need money. We don't live in a bartering society. Just so many of these different things. So really, when lucre is the price for doing wrong, it's filthy. The gain that I can get, man, what can I get? I just got to get this. So he says one of these requirements is not greedy of filthy lucre. But then he goes on, and I think this is, again, all of these stem from the heart. Jesus Christ says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Verse 9, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. The mystery of faith was not speculative, but it's really, it's the word of God. We're reminded there were mysterious parts, things that were revealed at different times throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. So really, the responsibility of those men that we say, these are men God wants us to have deacons in our church, must be men who hold, not just say, but the word of God highly. And I am thankful for a church family who wants to please God and wants God's word to be everything of their life. And that's how we've got to live. And again, these are the men we choose. Wow. Thank you, God. We're not looking for perfection, or you wouldn't have even asked me to be your pastor. Because I am not perfect, and you spend any time with me and you'll know that. But I sure want to please God with my life. And that's how it's got to be. Holding it in a pure conscience, like, man, that is me. I want that. The responsibility to the pastor. Because the needs of the people could have been met by the pastors there in Acts chapter 6. But it would have distracted them from the ultimate purpose of God's word coming forth and the power of God. But again, we must pray, not downplaying anybody else's prayer time and prayer life and us praying together. Wednesday nights, we spend time in prayer. Why? Because God's important. Because we need God. And as a church family, we all need to pray. But there is a special role and responsibility of a pastor. And so these deacons were to help so that to make sure the pastor could do these things. And aren't you thankful for the deacons God has given us over the years to help Pastor Bob be what he needed to be before God? And that's how we're going to continue on. It's about him. It's about God, his church. The responsibility to the pastor so that he can be responsible and accountable for those things before God. The physical responsibilities to try to help him. But again, it's not simply the pastor. That was to help the pastors do what they needed, but their role then and responsible was to people. You have needs. How many of you have a need? Now, it could mean that you need more sleep tonight. If you're a kid, it could mean that your parents need more sleep tonight, right? I mean, and so we go through those aspects of life. We all have needs. And it's not for our church deacons. Man, I've got this need and this need and this need and this need. Which one of them is going to best fulfill that one for me? But it's the deacons ministering, wanting to serve the people. That's what it's about. Just some basic things we'll talk about. I mean, responsibilities to people. The pastor will, some of them specifically, the pastor will notice at times that, hey, man, this person really needs ministry. They need some help. And, man, you can really feel that need there for them. Just need a little extra love today. Fruit baskets and the blessings that people have said that's been to them. And, wow, praise God. I mean, just ways that we can minister to people. Caring for them, meeting their physical and emotional needs. We all have them. Counseling. That's not just the pastor's role. There are physical and emotional and spiritual needs that they can help to meet. Because again, we have Sunday school teachers. Not because I can't teach everybody, but the reality is I can't. Do you know how hard it is to preach to a 5-year-old and to a 75-year-old? Why do you think it is I give these kids something to do? Because I can't reach them. Kids, listen up. And then you be able to listen to all those things. But we try to minister to people in their different ways. There are Sunday school classes for a reason. You go to your Sunday school class. You go to your club on Wednesday nights. I mean, there's reasons we have stuff as a church. And deacons, part of that is, man, I want your help. I can't deal with all the spiritual problems. There are some that you say, man, that's yours. You're the pastor. And I say, okay, God, I'm what you have put here, and I'll deal with that. But there are things that you can deal with that our deacons can help deal with and help people spiritually. Hey, I can help you deal with that problem. I can help you with that that situation that counseling, whether it be for salvation, I pray we have people come forward to get saved this year. I pray we have people that want to get baptized and grow in the Lord and live for God. I need the deacons to help with that, because those are needs that I can't. I'm expecting that God's going to do some great things. That there's too many people that, well, I can just, Pastor Josh can do it all. No, I can't. I need you. We as a church family need you as deacons. And yet we as a church family need each other to help fill in those spots. But counseling, counting. I mean, aren't you thankful for our deacons counting our offerings? There are financial needs. What if it didn't happen? These lights would go out and we'd sit in the cold. Well, it's not too cold right now, but we'd sit in that and we'd go through that aspect. And different committee aspects of leadership, of things going on, and other things that can be involved in helping the pastor to meet some of just the practical needs of the church family. Deacons, again, and expanded upon a little bit, are scripturally qualified men who are chosen by the church from among its membership and appointed by the pastor to serve specific needs within the church that would otherwise distract the pastor from prayer and the ministry of the word. So our deacons that we have right now, I am thankful for you. And the deacons that we will have this next year, I need you. And I love you already. And I don't know who you are, because we don't know yet. But will you be that? Would you pray as you pray, God, who do you want? Who do you want us to vote? Just because we have names on a ballot doesn't mean I've got to vote for them. You as an individual say, God, I want your will. I want to know who you have and who you want and what you want. Those responsibilities of a deacon. Pray about that. We can go on and we can see so many other aspects, even the relationships of a deacon and the rewards of a deacon. And really, like I said to some people, I won't get through all this tonight. We're going to finish this next Sunday night. Because as much as there is the role of a deacon and the responsibilities of a deacon, and next week we're going to talk about the relationships of a deacon, the relationships of the deacon with the pastor, the relationship of the deacon among the deacons, and their bond. Like a band of soldiers, we'll talk more about that. We'll talk about the relationship of the deacons with you as a church family. Because that's what they're here for. To help you as we all grow together in Christ. But you know what we're going to close with? And I will get through this next Sunday night. But that's the rewards of a deacon. Now really, these rewards, and I don't want to get too far into it tonight. But these rewards of a deacon, again, because a pastor and a deacon have nothing to do with us. And everything to do with Christ. The rewards of a deacon has nothing to do with them. Our deacons right now, man, the rewards, it's not about rewards for you, it's rewards for Christ in our church. So really, just basically, quickly, just a couple of rewards as we think and pray. God, this is what we're expecting you to do this next year, because we are praying for your wisdom in choosing deacons. The reward of church growth. We all want to see our church grow. But not just in numbers, but grow in and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. That's what it's about. Church growth in Him. We're not going to bring someone in to say, how can we grow our church? We want the power of God. That's why we want the deacons that God has for us. Reward of church growth is of a deacon is personal growth. Deacons, I want to tell you, man, there's some personal growth that you get to experience as a deacon. But some of that responsibility is that you've already gotten there. And as individuals, there's some more growth that you're going to be able to develop because of our deacons and their role in your life. That's exciting. At least I'm excited about it. Deacons. What is a deacon? It's a special office by God to fulfill a special role in the church that the pastor can't fulfill to help meet the needs of people. I'm going to give you a list right now of men that are going to be in our ballot next Sunday night. You're going to see this in your bulletin next Sunday. Jeff, his term is up, but he's on that ballot next Sunday night. John Crouch, he's on that ballot next Sunday night. Phil Tanner, the third,
is on that ballot Sunday night. Rocky Romalia on that ballot. Rob Heron on that ballot. These are men that I want you this week to pray, God, who do you want me to vote on? This is not a popularity contest. Oh, I like him. If you see it that way, please beg God to change your attitude in your heart. Because as we've talked tonight, it's all about him. Again, as I said, I'm not saying we need a certain number of deacons. I won't do that. God knows what we need as a church family. But I'm convinced that God is going to use you and me as we take our role and pray. And as we say, God, who do you want to be a deacon? Who of these men will you lead in my life that will best fulfill that role? Because it's about him. It's about Christ. And I sure want to grow together this next year. So we don't want to do anything to hinder that, do we? So let's pray about these men. Now I want you to know, these aren't just men we've chosen. Oh, we just randomly chose men. Some we chose and asked, and they said, no, not at this time. And again, there are certain qualifications, and we went through and we looked at certain things, and as we went through this, and granted you as the nominating committee and the deacons and Pastor Bob involved with that, that we discussed. But really, as we see in Acts, the church says, here we go. Church appointed, or church chosen, pastor appointed. And we're going to grow together. Joanne, will you come? Would you play something for us? This invitation tonight is going to be very different. I know I didn't really talk about salvation. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you can't grow with us if you don't. But for those of you who are here, you're a member here. I want you to take a couple minutes here and just pray. You'll see this list next week again. Jeff Simmons, John Crouch, Phil Tanner, Rocky Romalia, and Rob Herrett. But I want to give you those names, and if you want to write them down right now so you can be praying about them even throughout this week, do that. But as Joanne plays, would you pray? God, would you work in our church? We want to grow together this year. God, we want your power to be real in our lives and through our church. God, we want the deacons you want for us. If that's 7, we want 7. If that's 3, we want 3. Would you work in our hearts? It really is a big deal. I'm not trying to make a big mountain out of a molehill. This is God's church. We want God to work.